Well, I stood stone like at midnight, suspended in my masquerade, and I combed my hair till it was just right, and commanded the night brigade. I was open to pain and crushed by the rain, and I walked on a crooked crutch. I strode all along to a fallout zone, came out with my soul untouched. I hid in the cloud and wrath of the crowd. When they stretched it down, I stood up. My mask, my sails were set wing to wing. I had a jukebox graduate for first mate. She couldn't sail, but she sure could slam. And I pushed B-52 and bombed them with the blues. With my gear set stubborn on standing, I broke all the rules, straight my old high school. Vacations in the stratosphere, and you know it's really hard to hold your breath. Swear I lost everything I ever loved to fear. I was a cosmic kid in full costume dress, but my feet, they finally took root in the air. But I got me a nice little place in the stars, and I swear I found the key to the universe.
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening. This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, here we go. Welcome to it. It's the Wednesday. It's not only any Wednesday. It is May 3rd, and I hope you don't mind. I'm going to take a couple of minutes here at the top for a little bit of self-indulgence. Because 18 years ago today, I think, my daughter was born. See, we don't know for sure. No, it was 18 years ago, right around now. 18 years ago today, I was in Los Angeles. I was working at a radio station. It was Channel 103.1. In fact, on the Monday music show, I played an interview that I did that day with Greg Alexander of New Radicals. And if you look, oh, right there, I'm pointing at it. You see the yellow, if you're watching on YouTube, yellow framed platinum record. I got to go back. Right there. That's the New Radicals record, but one of my all-time favorite albums. But that was the day I got to interview that guy, Greg Alexander. And little did I know that on the other side of the world, a little baby was being born. But it was right around that time, either a few days before or a few days after, that I decided, I just all of a sudden like that thought, what the hell am I waiting for? I was 6 months away from my 40th birthday, and I knew that I wanted to be a mother. I had a good job. I was making good money. I had a house. Everything seemed to be going well. And the only thing I didn't have was the man to do it with. And I thought, I'm going to go ahead and adopt. And thus I began my research into international adoption that led me some 18 months later to a tiny town in Kazakhstan. The town is called Karakastek. That's why I was stumbling for a moment. Karakastek, Kazakhstan, which is where this little thing, this little baby was in an orphanage. And the whole process took about 18 months. So now let me back up a few minutes. Today, May 3rd, my mother's birthday was May 3rd. I lost my mother when I was 19 years old. Which, looking at my daughter now at 18, it's mind-boggling how long it's been. And growing up, one of my best friends also had, you know, my mother's birthday, my friend Jamie. So I go to Kazakhstan to adopt Allison, and on the paperwork it said her birthday was May 1st. But when we got to the office where they keep all the records in this tiny little hamlet of Karakastek, it was pretty amazing. It was I was there the end of November, and they had no heat working in the building, so everyone was in heavy jackets because it was damn cold there. And so we go into this room, and the woman, we actually had to pay her phone bill to get her to come in that day to help us out. It came out to something like $70 or $80 US to pay their phone bill that had built up for months. So she came in. There were people waiting in the hall. She wasn't going to see them that day. She only came for us because we paid her phone bill. So, but it wasn't enough, I guess, to turn on the heat for the day. Anyway, she opens the door to her office. We walk in, and she sits down at the desk. There are no computers. Now, this was 2000, the end of 2000, yes. So it was November 2000, right? And on the wall behind her are bookshelves filled with pink and blue binders. And she goes and she finds the year 1999 and pulls out the pink binder because they put the girls in the pink and the boys in the blue. This is how they kept the paperwork. She goes through it and she finds the paperwork for a little girl that they had called Maigul Matsikova. And I had found out from the paperwork that she was a foundling. She was left on the doorstep of a private home. The people, I guess, opened the door and found her there. In the translation, went something like a homemade basket with a blanket, a bottle, two caps, and that's about all that was there. But they could tell she was well cared for. They estimated her to be about a month old. They thought she showed signs of being born prematurely, so they estimated that she was born on May 1st, and that was the date they put on the birth certificate. And in these Eastern European countries, if there's no information on birth parents, they would make up a name. They'd make up a name for the mother and for the father, and they put those on the birth certificate. So when I showed up with the paperwork that showed that the judge had granted me the right to adopt my daughter, they crossed out the parents' names on the birth certificate that they had in this pink book, and they wrote in my name over mother. They changed Allison's name from the name they had given her, Maigul Matsikova. Maigul, translated, means Mayflower. And they wrote in Allison Sandler and my name for mother. They left the father's name blank because I adopted her as a single woman. And then they asked me through the translator, would you like to change the birth date? It's like, oh, I didn't even know I could. I said, well, since they're not sure when it was. It could have easily been May 3rd, right? So I put down May 3rd. And yeah, and so there we were. So Allison's birthday is May 3rd. And it's funny, this morning, last night, we had her birthday dinner last night because now she's 18. She's going out with friends tonight. Oh, my God, how quickly they grow up. You know, I said, oh, happy birthday, baby, tomorrow. She goes, well, it could have been yesterday. So I said, she gets the whole week, you know. So there you go. So now her birth certificate says May 3rd, 1999. And her name is Allison Sandler, and she's every bit my kid. And yeah, so there we are. She's legal. And I'm an adult. She's an adult, but I guess that makes me one, too. One last caveat. I mentioned my friend Jamie. Her birthday was on May 3rd. Well, my other oldest, dearest friend, the three of us have been friends since junior high school. Our other friend, Eva. Eva never told me. She got married a little later in life as well. And when I called her to tell her the news that I had found my daughter in Kazakhstan and I had accepted her referral and I was going over to adopt her, she said, oh, good. Now I can tell you I'm pregnant. And go figure, she was due the beginning of May. Well, as it got closer and closer, I kept telling her, your baby's going to be born on May 3rd. Your baby's going to be born on May 3rd. And sure enough, Molly was born on May 3rd. She's 2 years to the day younger than Allison. So they're, you know, they're as good as cousins. So that's May 3rd is a special day in my life. My mother, one of my oldest and best friends, my other oldest best friend's daughter and now my daughter, all born on May 3rd. So May 3rd is a pretty damn good day. So if you're not having a good day, take that and say, all right, it's a good day. Although with the news going on, how's that for a segue? I can't believe what I just saw a few minutes ago. I'm going to see if I can't bring this up. You know what? I want to talk about it. Our friend Dave Johnson is going to be here today. It's been a while since Dave Johnson's been on the show. But I thought today warranted a visit from Dave Johnson because he wrote a piece, a week or so ago about I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to talk and get video up here at the same time, and it's not working too well for me at the moment. All right, this goes there. This one goes there. All right, now I got it. I want to show you what happened. I was out running errands today. I took Allison to school because she's going out with friends immediately after school, and she's not going to be home till later tonight. And I'm in the car, and I'm listening to the hearing, the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing with James Comey, which was, oh, quite so interesting. And then they broke away to go into Donald Trump, who was meeting at the White House with the Palestinian leader, Abbas. And so they cut away to hear his comments. And I frankly could not believe what I heard. So I'm going to play it for you because, again, I just cannot believe what I heard.
Threat to all people.
Here we go.
Who cherish human life. I know President Abbas has spoken out against ISIS and other terrorist groups.
Okay.
And we must continue to build our partnership with the Palestinian security forces to counter and defeat terrorism.
Yeah.
I also applaud the Palestinian Authority's continued security coordination with Israel. They get along unbelievably well.
They what?
Now you can meetings.
Okay, you can tell he's looking up from the script when he said that. You know, he can't help himself. He has to ad lib. And so there he was reading off the script, and he's not a good reader, so it's kind of apparent. And every now and then he stumbles over a word, and then he looks up and he tries to cover it up by ad-libbing. And his ad-libs are what get him in trouble. And listen again to this ad-lib here. They get along unbelievably well. The Palestinians in Israel? No, those are the two entities that are lobbing bombs at one another continuously.
They get along unbelievably well.
No, they don't.
I had meetings. And at these meetings, I was actually very impressed and somewhat surprised at how well they get along. They work together beautifully.
Really?
But there can be no lasting peace unless the Palestinian leaders...
Now he's back on script.
...speak in a unified voice against incitement to violate and violence.
And again, violate was not in the script. Incitement to violate... and then he realized it was violence, and he tries to cover it up again.
And hate.
Here we go.
There's such hatred.
Such hatred.
But hopefully...
But they work together so well.
There won't be such hatred for very long.
This man is such an embarrassment. Just such an embarrassment. Anyway, I just... That was one of the last things I saw before I came on the air, and just... I had to share it. It's one of many things we'll discuss with Dave Johnson. But today happens to be World Press Freedom Day. Yeah, see, I couldn't make that up either. World Press Freedom Day. And, I go over a little bit about it in today's edition of What's News. So we'll start with that. And then we'll come back on the other side with Dave Johnson to talk about World Press Freedom, to talk about Dump and the latest on him and the wall and the people's budget, which is what I really want to talk to him about. If you ever need to find the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, all you need do is look at the budgets they put forth. Now, the people's budget is not the budget of the Democratic Party. The people's budget is the budget that's put out by the Congressional Progressive Caucus. Now, I'm not surprised. They released it this morning, and I'm sure even if you're the biggest news junkie out there, you've heard nothing about it on any of the news programs, any cable news, MSNBC, which is doing everything in its power to not be the liberal alternative to Fox. I guess they want to be the new Fox because Fox is, rapidly going away. It's a sad world. So you're in the right place to find out what the hell the people's budget is all about. We'll do that with Dave Johnson after a quick update on what's news.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
This is a big week for the press. Saturday night was the annual White House Correspondents' Dinner, minus the chief executive, for the first time in 36 years, and then it was because Reagan was recovering from being shot. It was the first ever not the White House Correspondents' Dinner, planned by Samantha Bee before Dump backed out. Wednesday is World Press Freedom Day, proclaimed as such by the UN General Assembly in 1993. It arrives just days after the 2017 World Press Freedom Index was released, in which the United States fell 2 points to number 43. And that was before the Oval Office resident declared,
"I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws so that when the New York Times writes a hit piece, which is a total disgrace, we can sue them and win money instead of having no chance of winning because they're totally protected."
There's never been a presidency and administration that was this overtly hostile to the press. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're talking about, revising the First Amendment. The chief of staff this weekend was sitting there. They're looking at those libel laws. What do you mean, looking at them? They don't look back. We have a First Amendment. You can't change. They're looking at changing that stuff, and they put out their first campaign ad for 2020, which denounces the fake news.
Yeah.
And they're really against it, but at the same time, there's never been a president who is more addicted to the news about himself and who's more responsive to the news that he supposedly thinks is so worthless. So it is a weird tension. I think it's a dangerous time for the First Amendment and for the free press in this country. And at the same time, we're oddly influential with the guy who wants to kill us.
So happy World Press Freedom Day. To celebrate that and making it through 100 days in office, Dump submitted to a few interviews, including one with Face the Nation's John Dickerson, to whom he was the epitome of rude.
On the subject of previous presidents, Dickerson asked Trump if he still stands by claims that President Obama wiretapped him.
You stand by that claim about him?
I don't stand by anything.
It's true. He doesn't stand by anything except the dressing room door at Miss USA pageant.
Thankfully, TV writers settled their negotiations with the Writers Guild and a strike was averted because late-night television hosts seem to be the most vocal and effective critics of this administration. Stephen Colbert took particular offense to the way Trump ended that interview and struck back.
Dickerson asked his question anyway.
I just wanted to find out, though, you're the president of the United States. You said he was sick and bad because he attacked you.
You can take any way. You can take it any way you want.
But I'm asking you because you don't want it to be fake news. I want to hear it from President Trump.
You don't have to ask me.
Why not?
Because I have my own opinions. You can have your own opinions.
But I want to know your opinions. You're the president of the United States.
That's enough. Thank you.
Then Don the Con sat down at his desk and began shuffling papers. You know, the way newscasters do when the show is ending.
But I got to say, walking out in the middle of a sentence wasn't even the president's biggest insult to John Dickerson.
You know, it's very funny when the fake media goes out, you know, which we call the mainstream media, which sometimes I must say is you. But when the
you
fake
mean me personally or
your show, I love your show. I call it Deface the Nation.
Really? Donald Trump, John Dickerson, is a fair-minded journalist and one of the most competent people who will ever walk into your office, and you treat him like that? Now, John Dickerson has way too much dignity to trade insults with the President of the United States to his face. But I, sir, am no John Dickerson. Mr. Trump, I love your presidency. I call it Disgrace the Nation. You're not the POTUS. You're the BLOTUS. You're the glutton with the button. You're a regular Gorge Washington. You're the president, but you're turning into a real pricktator. You attract more skinheads than free Rogaine. You have more people marching against you than cancer. You talk like a sign language gorilla who got hit in the head. In fact, the only thing your mouth is good for is being Vladimir Putin's holster. The only thing smaller than your hands is your tax returns. And you can take that any way you want.
Well, that bit had the dumpsters in an online tizzy. They started the hashtag Fire Colbert because they have no sense of humor. Another late-night host struck back, without the comedy, at Trump's idiotic and ignorant attempts to undo the protections under the Affordable Care Act. As Jimmy Kimmel told the harrowing story of his son's birth with a heart defect that would portend a lifetime with a pre-existing condition.
We were brought up to believe that we live in the greatest country in the world, but until a few years ago, millions and millions of us had no access to health insurance at all. You know, before 2014, if you were born with congenital heart disease like my son was, there was a good chance you'd never be able to get health insurance because you had a pre-existing condition. If your parents didn't have medical insurance, you might not live long enough to even get denied because of a pre-existing condition. If your baby is going to die, and it doesn't have to, it shouldn't matter how much money you make, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or something else. We all agree on that, right? I mean, we do. We need to make sure that the people who are supposed to represent us, the people who are meeting about this right now in Washington, understand that very clearly.
Don't let us get sick. Don't let us get old. Don't let us get stupid, all right.
If you appreciate this daily fix of what's news and the Nicole Sandler Show, please consider making a contribution. Our work is 100% listener supported. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal, and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
Olson Johnson is right. I say we stay and fight it out.
Dr. Samuel Johnson's right about Olson Johnson's being right. And I'm not giving up my ice cream parlor that I built with these two hands for nothing or nobody.
Howard Johnson is right.
The latest in a long line of Johnsons who were right. Correct. It's Dave Johnson on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Dave Johnson, are you there?
I'm here. Of course I'm here.
always correct,
here for you,
Dave
Nicole.
Johnson. Oh, thanks. Well, Dave Johnson.
Except for that terrible echo I hear, but maybe it'll go away.
I'm sorry about that. I've been having I figured out what the issue is, I think. And that is, I guess Microsoft.
Too much LSD.
Well, shh. Don't give away our secrets. Yeah, no. Microsoft apparently is, and you know about this stuff, is updating their whole OS again, as if, you know, Microsoft Windows 10 wasn't enough. And they're integrating Skype into it. And so Skype is being all screwy. I'm going to have to find another phone solution other than Skype. But I've been making all kinds of updates to our website. You know, I think you have your speaker on. That's why.
Nope.
No?
It's the echo went away, so
oh, what the hell? Echo. Anyway, hi, Dave Johnson.
Hi, Nicole.
So
good to be on.
It's good to have you on. Yes, somebody in the chat room in YouTube thought you were Elton John's bass player, and someone just said, oh, that was Dave Johnstone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
Then there's the other Dave Johnstone, and that's the tax guy.
No,
he's also David C. Johnstone.
John Stone, not John Stone. There's John Stone,
right.
There's John Stone, but you're the right, correct, Dave Johnson.
Anyway, I've actually been on radio shows where they thought I was him, but, you know.
Oh, really? David K. Johnson. They thought you were him?
Yeah, C-A-Y, right.
And then they said, oh, you know what? I had a time just when I was talking to one person, and it was like about 3 minutes into the interview, and I realized it was not the person that I was thinking of. And I think I did a good save, like nobody else got it, but I had this whole like, oh, you're that Michelle.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, let me rephrase that question then. Anyway, you know, last week you wrote a piece for OurFuture.org, which was the Campaign for America's Future, about the people's budget.
And I did.
Yeah, and I reached out to you. I said, "Hey, you want to come on and talk about it?" And you said, "Yeah, but they didn't. This is not new. You wrote it as a way to contrast what the Progressive Caucus always shoots for with what the Republicans were offering up." And
right.
And so I thought, okay, well, then let's wait until the people's budget is out. And lo and behold, guess what crosses my desktop today?
The people's budget is out.
But as I told the listeners earlier, if you expected to hear about it on any of your mainstream media outlets, you're probably looking in the wrong places. So if you want to find out about the people's budget, you're in the right place today.
Right. Right.
This is something that, that the corporate media never covers, do they?
No, they never cover. Okay, now, first of all, I think the Progressive Caucus is the largest caucus of Democrats in the Congress.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
But in the corporate media, they're just irrelevant. They don't exist. They just don't count. They hold press conferences and they don't even get one national news media reporter to come.
Isn't that amazing?
Often. And you won't see a thing about the people's budget. Well, you won't see labor leaders. There's all kinds of things you won't see on the corporate media. But the Progressive Caucus. That's the Bernie Sanders wing. He used to be in the Progressive Caucus when he was in the House.
In fact, wasn't he one of the founders?
Party gets no coverage.
Wasn't Bernie one of the founders of the Progressive Caucus when he was in the House of Representatives?
Yeah. Bernie and I think Robert Borisage wasn't in the Congress, but yep.
Yeah, so, you know, Bernie Sanders now.
By the way, People's Action.
Yeah.
And Campaign for America's Future, my last day was Friday.
Oh, well,
I'll be showing up soon. I have to take a break.
Okay.
And I will be at the Center for Media and Democracy.
Love
also,
it.
You know them as ALEC Exposed, for
yes,
example.
Yes, PRWatch.org. Regular listeners of this program know Lisa Graves because she's, I try not to bug her too often because I know she's a very busy woman. But they do such great work over there, and I'm thrilled you're going to be joining them. Thrilled.
Yep. Okay, so people's budget. Back to that.
Yes. Uh-huh. So the Progressive Caucus is still chaired by Raul Grijalva. Although Keith Ellison, what's his status over there now? Do you know?
You know, I'm not sure because of the whole Democratic Party thing with the co-director sort of and everything. I just don't know. But so the people's budget, the Progressive Caucus of Congress, is the caucus of
the people.
Progressive. And every year they put out a budget, a progressive budget, a people's budget. Now, I'm going to start this with a big one of those 40,000, 30,000 foot overviews for a second.
Okay.
we're supposed to be a representative democracy, right?
Yeah.
Well, that if you look at our Constitution and hold it at some distance, and they did this for a reason, the only words you see are "we the people." They're trying to make a point. And
yes.
The point is that we the people, it was a revolutionary idea at the time, that there would be a government where we the people would actually make the decisions and run things, right?
Right.
So in that kind of a government, in a democracy, the idea is that we make the decisions. So then, by definition, government spending, you know, how much has been spent to make the words government spending sound bad? You know, like there's some terrible thing that government spending is. You know, it's bad. You can't spend.
It's bad.
Money, you know?
Yeah, it's bad unless
by
you're spending it on a wall.
Government spending is we deciding to do things to make our lives better. Okay, you were going to say.
No, I was saying.
Finish. I had to get
yeah,
that
unless there was a wall. You know, that's what they want to spend the people's money on, a wall, or to, you know, to protect Donald Trump's properties around the country and his family around the world.
But that's not a decision of we the people.
No.
It's exactly the kind of changes that have happened, okay, where you get, okay, the Electoral College.
Yeah.
We got a president, 3 million fewer votes. The Senate. Did you know that this guy Gorsuch got voted in by the Senate? The senators who voted against him have had 22 million more votes than the senators who voted for him, for example.
Really?
So there. Wow. Then if you go to various states, you know, they do a thing called gerrymandering. And
yes.
In a state where Democrats get vastly more votes, Republicans end up in control. Complete control, and we've seen that across the country. The voter suppression, okay, where you in Wisconsin, I think they kept 600,000 people off the voter rolls, where Trump won by 20,000 votes.
Yeah,
I could go on and on about the thwarting of democracy. Here's another thwarting of democracy: the Progressive Caucus releases the people's budget, and it's not even covered in the media. For democracy, you got to have an informed, empowered public voting and knowing what they're voting on and knowing
the
issues and things like that. We have this situation where this budget doesn't even get covered. Okay, so that's the 30,000-foot overview.
You know, before you move on, let me bring this out, though. It doesn't get covered. You're right. But I believe it was last year, one website, a larger progressive-leaning website, did a sort of a blind study where they put it out there. And mm-hmm. and the progressive budget, they took off the names of them. They didn't say who was behind each budget. But, you know, there are a number of them. The president releases one. The party releases
right.
one. Both parties release them. Different factions release them. And the progressive budget, the people's budget, got more accolades. More people said, well, this one makes sense than any of the others. But because it comes from the Progressive Caucus, nobody pays attention to it, which I
right.
find mind-boggling.
Exactly.
Okay. Anyway,
exactly.
so what kind of things are in it? What makes the people's budget different from, oh, say, the budget that the Dump administration just
right.
well, put an outline out?
Trump's budget literally just devastates almost everything in the government, massively cuts taxes on the rich and corporations, and increases military spending dramatically, okay, which is kind of what Reagan did, okay? And the people's budget, well, the first thing it does is it ends something called tax deferral, where corporations are allowed to keep from paying taxes they owe as long as they keep the profits out of the country. You know, what a weird thing to have, where Apple can keep $100 billion or whatever outside of the country and not pay taxes on it of their profits.
That's amazing.
So it just ends that. Now, that alone, there's way over $2 trillion now parked in these tax havens, okay? That alone, now the numbers are approaching somewhere between $800 billion and $1 trillion that these corporations owe. So you just end that deferral, and suddenly you got $800 billion more dollars here, plus another $100 billion a year, $90 to $100 billion a year are the estimates. These are just estimates because the numbers I did have are kind of old now, $626 billion a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
Add another $100 billion a year. There you go. So that starts, okay? But then you do other things. You cut out all these corporate loopholes. You have an incremental increase in tax rates on the really wealthy. Okay, now let me explain. When you get a tax bracket, all the money you make before that tax bracket, that all just stays the same. You don't
right.
get a higher tax on it.
Right.
But if you, let's say you have a tax bracket at $1 million, you add another 10% at $1 million. Well, if you make $1 million and $1, you don't have to pay an extra $100,000.
No.
You pay an extra, actually, 10 cents.
Right, because you only pay it on the dollar over the million.
Right.
Right.
We used to have a 90% top tax bracket
yeah.
in the United States because we said inequality is bad, oligarchies are bad, you know, these plutocracy families that just pass, you know, hundreds of millions, whatever, dollars are bad. We used to say that. We used to have a 90% top tax rate. Well, if we had a 90% top tax
right.
rate today, a hedge fund manager might only bring home $100 million in a year.
Only. Right, only.
Bad.
And again, if that top
yeah.
90% mm-hmm. was on incomes over, say, $90 million, he'd only
right.
pay it on
yeah.
the final $10 million, not on the first $90
no,
million.
No, on the final $1
billion. Or whatever.
Or yeah. $910 billion.
Whatever.
Yeah,
I can't
million.
Even think in those terms, in those kind of numbers.
Right.
But
yeah.
right, he wouldn't pay it on his entire income. He'd only pay it on that
right.
top percentage
yeah.
that's over the... where the cutoff
right. but
is.
We'd get things like better schools and roads, et cetera.
Without
so
a doubt.
They
and
do
by
that.
The
they don't
way,
go anywhere near 90%.
What? No.
I don't exactly have it in front of me. They have a higher bracket. I think they just phase it in a little bit, you know, each. And it starts at these very high rates. And so you get extra money at the top, which happens to be where most of the money is.
Well,
now,
of course. And that's where all the gains are
yeah.
lately as well.
Right. Okay, you do a few things like that. All of a sudden, you got money to do things that help us. And the things they do, first of all, Trump says he's going to put $1 trillion into infrastructure.
Uh-huh.
The budget he proposed dramatically cut infrastructure spending. Okay.
Yeah, but did you hear what he said yesterday or the day
right.
before? He's floating the idea
right.
of raising gas taxes to...
Yeah,
to
well,
but
this
is the kind of shit that he does off the top of his head that
yeah.
he doesn't consult with anyone. He's like, oh, I have an idea.
Let me say what he's really doing.
Okay.
He says he's going to do that, but what he's doing is he's talking about taking our infrastructure and turning it over to big corporations,
mm.
privatizing
yes.
it. The idea is that we'll give a big corporation a tax break that they will use to build a road, you know, or a highway or fix up a highway, and then they own it. So we pay them we give them the infrastructure, we pay them to fix it up, and then they can charge us money to use it.
Wow.
That's Trump's plan.
Yeah. Right. It's like those
I know,
private
everybody,
toll
everybody
roads.
That hears that and thinks
right.
about it and goes, holy shit.
Yeah. Exactly.
No,
don't,
yeah.
don't apologize. That's, you know, that's
right.
what we do here.
This plan puts $2 trillion of real money over time into a full infrastructure, including renewable energy, into, you know, things like high-speed rail, into, you know, solar stuff, into all kinds of stuff, the Flint pipes, the water infrastructure, the transportation infrastructure, mass transit in cities, all these kind of things that we've been not doing, and fixing roads and bridges that we've been deferring largely since Reagan and
right.
his tax cuts.
Which are falling apart.
Okay, so that's just one part of what the people's budget does. But you're starting to get the idea. And before I go on too much, I'd ask everybody to quickly Google people's budget. Or you could go to Grijalva, G-R-I-J-A-L-V-A. Just Google Grijalva, and then you go to his website, and you'll see the thing there.
Right, I'm going to tweet
but
it out now
are just
as well.
Quick example. Oh, here's one. Here's one you'll like. I know I'm filibustering real quick.
No, go. That's why you're here.
It funds health care and funds a path for states to go to what's called single payer, which is Medicare for all. So states can just start giving you health care instead of this ridiculous system, okay? For
yep.
example, there's another example.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
No.
I was just blabbing on too much.
No,
go
I'm
on,
waiting for
you
your
talk.
Other example. And I'm tweeting
all
out
right,
the link.
All right, $100 billion to increase national access to high-speed internet.
Wow.
Okay?
Yep.
Yeah. It changes procurement. This is kind of complicated, but right now, because of our trade deals, our government tax dollars when we fund that infrastructure, we have to go to bidders from China and stuff like that, Chinese steel, whatever, because of trade agreements. It changes that to give a preference to American-made. It's about jobs, okay? It gives a preference to American-made steel and things like that. So the jobs of our tax dollars work to help our economy and not someone else's.
I like that.
God, I've got a whole list here. It ensures the justice system is fair and effective for all Americans by increasing funding for voter protection and legal assistance programs. Taxes Wall Street, okay? Transaction tax. Right now we have wild speculation and especially computer speculation where they buy and sell and buy and sell, you know, 1,000 times a second. Well, if you put a little tiny, you know, 0.1% or something, 0.001% tax on that, you raise tremendous amounts of money, but
yep.
You also slow down a bit this rampant speculation that can cause wild swings so that the economy is unstable. The ability for corporations to have liquidity is unstable.
Hmm.
Okay, so there's just this long list of wonderful things in this budget, and they're all the kinds of things that if you and I were sitting around over a cup of coffee or a beer or something and talking about, you know what we ought to do? You know what we ought to do?
Right.
Well,
we'd come up with a lot of these.
It doesn't say, oh, you can never get that through or anything. It just says, look, this is what we're about. This is why we resist Trump.
Yeah,
it's literally the opposite of Trump's budget.
That's a great way to describe it. Dave Johnson is with us these days. Until he goes over to the Center for Media and Democracy, you can find him at seeingtheforest.com. Of course, on Twitter as well, at DC Johnson. Those are his initials. He doesn't live in D.C. So the people's budget, you can look at it, and it's broken into a bunch of different categories, sort of like Invest in America, which includes infrastructure. It includes funding early Head Start for preschoolers, makes debt-free college a reality for all students. It includes renewable energy and green jobs. There's a section on empowering the middle class. There's a whole section on justice and fair elections. Oh, my goodness. It strengthens the Department of Justice voter protection programs. Unlike the Republicans who just want to keep minorities from voting, this one actually strengthens our voting rights, right?
Comprehensive and just immigration reform.
Look at that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looks at the defense, okay? It looks at defense. And this is we need a defense department. You know, there's needs for it, there's reasons for it. But it looks at it and it says, right now we've just got this ridiculous, what was it called the word suddenly escaped my brain when they made that deal over the debt limit and just limited all.
Sequester.
Yeah, it gets rid of the sequester. Some spending is going to go up for a little while,
mm-hmm.
but they start to examine it by a need-based defense budget, which is going to cause a tremendous number of cuts over time. So there's just another thing. They start looking at the military budget realistically instead of, you know, what massive campaign contributions and advertising and think tanks from Lockheed and General Dynamics pay for, okay?
Right.
For example. So it does. It's just basically, like I said, if we were sitting around or if we just sat on this show and said, you know what would be great? That's the budget. And it's basically a lot like what Bernie Sanders' budget was during the campaign, because this budget has been coming up for years and years, revised every year. It's a full and complete and detailed budget. You can go to the Economic Policy Institute, EPI.org, mm-hmm. to look at these full analyses of the budget. But this is a full budget. It's not like Trump's tax plan on two pages, you know, all that nonsense.
No, and in fact,
what
I just tweeted out is sort of the outline, but then on the page at the bottom, it says full budget documents are below, and it has the analysis, the executive summary, the full budget for fiscal year 2017, and then they have it in Espanol as well. So there, it's all there on this page, should anybody care to, you know, read through it. I wish some media outlet would do an objective review of the various budgets. Of course, you can't do it with Trump's because it's not a full budget, as you mentioned. It's just two pages. And the only reason they rushed to get that out is because he said, we'll have a budget next week. Because, again, he speaks off the top of his head without telling anybody he's doing this. And then they've got to rush to either cover his ass or come up with something to validate what he said. But Dave Johnson, I got to ask you something, and you may not know the answer. Yep. I've been trying to find out for a few days now, to no avail. They have this continuing resolution, which they're allegedly going to vote on today. I guess I just saw something that Elizabeth Warren is about to go to the floor to deliver a speech about something in the continuing resolution that she disagrees with. But the Democrats got a pretty good deal out of this, despite the fact that Trump has his people spinning it as a win for them. But does this include raising the debt ceiling? Because from what I recall, the debt ceiling came up in March, and nothing has been done yet. I want to know, are the Republicans going to clutch their pearls over raising the debt limit, or are we going to have another standoff over that? Or
we're in that period where they do all kinds of adjustments and things to hold off, and I'm actually not sure when the exact date of the debt ceiling comes up, but
it'll be before
that's
September.
Been my biggest fear under Trump.
Yeah, well, it'll be before before September, and to refresh people's memories, what the debt ceiling is basically they've made all these commitments. Congress has approved the spending to do these things, but then we run out of money, and so in order to continue paying the bills that we've racked up, Congress needs to raise the debt ceiling, saying yes, we'll extend our debt so that we can pay these bills. Is that a good explanation of it?
Yep.
And if they don't,
it's just a stupid little thing that somehow got put in there.
Right. And if they don't do it, then it means we can't write the checks to pay the bills for things that we've already purchased. It's like you're saying, well, I know I went out on a credit card spending binge, but my partner won't approve me paying these bills, so I'm not going to pay them. That's basically what a government is saying if they won't raise the debt limit.
Right. That we already said we'd buy this from you, but we're not going to do it. We don't have the money.
Well, we bought it, but we're not going to pay you for it.
We have bought it, and we appropriated the money.
Right.
But now we're not going to go get the money to give you. That's what it means.
I can't wait to hear Trump's convoluted description of why, because he's going to have to raise the debt ceiling. You can't keep going if you don't.
Let the world economy collapse, which I don't know that he understands this. He said that instead of raising the debt ceiling, he would negotiate with America's bondholders. Remember that?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You see, this is you're right. You said this is what scares you. It scares the shit out of me, too, and nobody's talking about it.
Well, the stock market simply doesn't take Trump seriously at this point. You know, the stock and bond market are just ignoring Trump at this point. They keep thinking that, well, there's serious people still who will make sure none of this happens. And they did, in fact, not shut down the government the other day.
We're
still waiting. Actually, it hasn't been done yet. There's a deal, and some Republicans are saying they're going to sabotage the deal, which means the government has to shut down. Because we're beyond the time when they can do another vote.
Right. Well, yesterday, they sent Mick Mulvaney out, who was a former congressman from South Carolina, who now heads up the budget of the Office of Management and Budget. So he's the money guy.
Yep.
And they put him out in the briefing room. Did you see any of this?
Yeah. Did you see did you hear about the conference call?
No, what about the conference call?
They had a conference call, and it fell apart because they couldn't get some music to stop.
Oh, God.
So then they had him come out in front of people.
Okay, and then they put him in front of these pictures of a fence with a wall behind it, and he claimed that this was the wall being built on the border with the money.
By Trump,
with the money from this continuing resolution, for which there is nothing allotted. Now, there are some dollars allotted for border security, but it's specifically for security, for more beds in detention centers and things like that, not for building the wall. And Mick Mulvaney got up there and blatantly lied. In fact, let me see. I'm going to pull up just a short section of this video so people can see it, because this is wonderful. So, Dave, you'll hear the audio. Here we go.
Wall?
Mick Mulvaney.
This is what's out there right now, okay? And this is what's going to be put in as a result of this bill, okay? That is better border security. You can call it new wall, you can call it replacement, you can call it maintenance,
or
call
not.
It whatever you want to.
Right.
The president's priority
call it
was to secure the southern border,
oh
and that's
God,
what this does.
Air.
No, he asked
there
a couple
go.
Questions. I'm going to the, so, the young woman in the pink thing.
As you find it, I just want to point out that they haven't allocated the money yet.
Right. No, you weren't hearing it, but it was playing.
This is the wall they're building with this money. No, the money's not allocated. It takes months.
Yeah. Well,
and who was president months
exactly.
ago
no,
when
but,
they allocated the money for the wall that you're about to play?
But not only that, I was playing it. You just weren't hearing it because my equipment is rebelling.
I'm sorry.
But that's okay because people saw enough. And the picture, what it was, and at the end of it, they walk out of the room. Sean Spicer never comes back in. The press gallery is pissed off because there was supposed to be a regular briefing. And Sean's like, fuck this. I'm not doing this today. And he leaves. And then one of them, I think it was Peter Alexander from NBC, says, will you email us the location of where that fence is? Well, it turns out, as I saw in the middle of the night on one of the shows on MSNBC, it's like it's something that's up in New Mexico. It has nothing to do with the border wall. But Mick Mulvaney totally misrepresented it. He lied
right.
to the press about what this was, what was being built. And he said, this is being built today, right now, with that money from this continuing resolution. And that's just an out-and-out lie. It's complete and utter
bullshit.
Bullshit.
Every reporter in that room covers the budgets and understands that when the president hasn't signed this budget, Congress has, you know, et cetera, they have to get the money, they have to then, you know, send the money out, do the contracts based on this money. Every reporter in that room knew that. It was entirely a lie based to fool the yahoos out there
yeah.
that don't get this stuff, just to cover their asses
the gullible,
for a minute.
Because they yeah. can get away with it, it seems.
It seems, yeah. But how many times are you going to, how many times can you as a reporter say, well, it was all just a lie? You know, it's just fatigue on that.
I guess.
It's this not normal situation becomes normalized as people just say, oh, God. Oh, God.
Well, I'm going to post the link that I just tweeted out to the People's Budget from the Congressional Progressive Caucus so that people can read through it. You can read the outline. You can read the whole thing if you're really into the wonky stuff. But I wanted to show the difference. This is such a dichotomy. There's such a difference. And we have this president who he engages in doublespeak. Did you see the thing on with Abbas? Did you hear about? I played it at the beginning of the show. Where?
Oh no, I was studying for the show.
Well. Trump is at the White House with Mahmoud Abbas, the head of the Palestinian
yeah.
Authority, right? And
right.
he says, I applaud the Palestinians' authority, continued cooperation with Israel. And then, of course, he lost his place on the teleprompter or something. And he said, they get along unbelievably well. They work together beautifully.
Trump said that Israel and the Palestinians work together beautifully.
Yes.
And get along.
Unbelievably well. Unbelievably
<sorry.
laughs> well. Right. yeah.
You kind of wonder, you know, at what point they're just going to have to throw a net on the guy, and lock him upstairs in the attic or something.
You know, I talk about opposite world all the time. He's there. He lives in this alternate universe. And I'm not talking about the alt-right. I'm talking about he lives in some strange place where facts don't matter. He just makes shit up.
Right.
And nobody
yeah.
in his inner circle calls him out on it. What? Because they're all afraid of him?
They are, yeah. You bet they are. But somebody, I saw a tweet about Trump that said a collection of his statements over the last several days reads like the evidence you gather for a commitment hearing.
Yes. You know,
yeah.
and it makes me wonder, is he trying to get 25th Amendmented out of there?
Right. Yeah. You have to wonder, or maybe he's an actual candidate for that, because this is nuts.
Yeah. I don't
yeah.
know. Now, speaking of candidate, then on the other hand, he's already running re-election ads. Did you see
That's
that?
That's what these rallies are. He actually filed a re-election committee immediately after the inauguration so he could start collecting money. which, you know, there's no real accountability on where the money comes from because of these shell corporations that donate. Could be Russia.
Right.
Likely Russia, in my opinion, and such places, you know, oil companies, whatever. But it's beyond unprecedented that the guy is now having campaign rallies. He had a campaign rally on his 100th day.
Yes.
And somebody said it was the scariest speech by a president in American history, the most divisive, hate-filled, scariest speech by a president of the United States ever.
Yes.
That Saturday rally he had.
I'm actually looking for that clip. I know I had pulled it. I don't see it. But, yeah, and the ad that he ran, you know, I'm going to play it. I don't know if you can hear it. Hopefully you can.
Right.
I'm going to try one other thing. You should be able to hear this. So this is the audio of, it's a 30-second ad. I happened to be watching Morning Jerk, and I saw it, and my jaw dropped. And then it got to the end where it said, paid for by Donald J. Trump for President, Inc. It's like, oh, my God, this is an ad for his reelection campaign. Here it goes.
Donald Trump, sworn in as president 100 days ago. America has rarely seen such success. A respected
Never.
Supreme Court justice, confirmed.
Still.
Companies investing in American jobs again. America becoming more energy independent. Regulations that kill American jobs, eliminated. The biggest tax cut plan in history. You wouldn't know it from watching the news. America is winning, and President Trump is making America great again.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message. Were you able to hear it?
Yes, and I understand where they say from watching the news on the screen, you see the words fake news.
That's right. And yeah. That's why CNN refused the ad. They said
right.
Because the corporate mainstream media is not fake news, and they refused to run it. Of course, MSNBC took the cash.
Right. And Fox, of course, you don't have to run the ad.
Well, of course. They probably comped it to him.
I think the statement, though, that you've rarely seen such success in a first
right.
100 days is entirely accurate.
It is. You've never, because
yeah.
it's never
you've
been...
You've never seen anything as bad as this.
Anything like this. And yet he goes out
right.
and spins it as this was... this, and he's tweeted about it. This has been the best first 100 days ever. Just like he made Mick Mulvaney go out and to spin... this continuing resolution as a win for the Republicans, even though they got nothing. They got something. They got a little bit, the sequester lifted on the military, and they got $15 billion of military funding, which is nothing considering he wanted, what, $154
billion?
Something
huge
like
amount.
That.
Yeah.
Right.
Immediately,
so,
yeah.
Immediately.
Some amount now and then over the next few years, continued increases. Don't forget that George W. Bush doubled the military budget after he got in, and that was before 9/11.
Right.
Okay, his budgets did that, and it hasn't gone back down since.
Now, the sequester
just
stopped. So
just to keep in perspective
right.
how much we spend on that. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, the sequester, now before the sequester, I remember it was something like the military, we outspent the next 26 nations put together in
Combined.
Terms of military spending.
Yeah, put together.
Yeah. Now it's something like the next 9. It's still insane. And for them to say,
yeah.
oh, our military is depleted, don't listen to them. They are lying to you. They lie to you continuously. We're still outspending the next 9 countries put together.
Put together. I mean, think about that. And many of those countries are our allies.
Yes.
So if you count in countries, you know, where our allies till Russia takes over, France, Germany, England,
yeah.
you know, a lot of these countries that have big, I guess Israel's an ally. You get the
yep.
picture, Japan.
Yep.
So if some country that might be a potential adversary were to act up, it's not just that massive American budget. It's the whole bang of all of those allied countries.
The whole shebang. Hey, there's one other
yeah.
thing that I wanted to bring up with you, because in the wake of, you know, everything, Trump, you know, saying we're going to have to look at those libel laws. Today is World Press Freedom Day. Did you know that?
Ah.
It is.
No,
and on Monday, Reporters Without Borders released their 2017 World Press Freedom Index. And the United States has fallen to 43rd place.
You got to understand that that the words of a president have the force of action in a lot of ways. When Donald Trump comes out and says the American press is the enemy of the people, I think that's an exact quote. I'm not sure.
That is an exact
the
quote.
The press is the enemy of the people. He doesn't even necessarily have to pass laws at that point for a significant portion of the American public to lose their standing on the basis of the institutions of democracy at that point, because that so severely weakens one of the fundamental institutions of democracy, one of the checks and balances on him, like the judicial system is another, and he's attacking them too.
Yes.
There's no joke where this guy's heading.
There is no democracy without a free and open press. And the United States of America is now 43rd. You know, I could go through the top.
Right.
It starts with Norway. Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, Netherlands. There's a trend there. Costa Rica is sixth. Then Switzerland, Jamaica, Belgium, Iceland, Austria, Estonia, New Zealand, Ireland, Luxembourg, Germany, Slovakia. Ooh, the land of Mrs. Trump. Portugal, Australia, Suriname, Samoa, Canada, Czech Republic, Namibia, Uruguay, Ghana, Cabo Verde, Latvia, Spain, Cyprus, South Africa, Liechtenstein, Chile, Trinidad and Tobago, Andorra, Lithuania, Slovenia, OECS, wherever that is, France, United Kingdom, Belize, Burkina Faso, then the United States.
And the President of the United States, probably since that was compiled, says that the American news media is the enemy of the
people. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And there you go.
The attack continues, Nicole.
So it does.
And so we must resist.
And that's what we do. And Hillary Clinton's a resistor now, too.
Oh, yeah.
Just thought I'd throw that in there. Yeah. All right, Dave Johnson, the time just flies when we're having fun. Find Dave on the Twitters at DC Johnson and his blog, seeingtheforest.com. And we'll let you know when you can find him at prwatch.org with the Center for Media and Democracy. I'm so glad you're headed over there. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Nicole. It was great talking to you.
You too. Bye-bye.
And your listeners. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. All right, there you go. Dave Johnson, he is one of the good guys. There's so much, and it's hard to get to it all in an hour, but we try. And with that, another day is done. Tomorrow, Howie Klein should be back with us. All right, so, we'll do that. And, with my daughter turning 18 today, I thought I would leave you with one. A song about aging or not from Bob Dylan. Thanks again for listening, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung, and may you stay. Surrounding you. And you-
stand upright and be strong, and may you stay. Forever young. Forever young. Forever young. May you stay. Forever. Always be busy. May your feet always be swift. May you have a strong foundation when the winds of change shift. May your heart always be joyful. May your song always be sung. And may you stay. Forever young.